Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to another edition of our program, Dare to Be Different. Just wonderful to have all of you tuning in, whether it's via the audio streaming, MediaWave 1548 Satellite Islam, and to those of you on the DSTV Bouquet 826. And it's been a wonderful week. While the mornings and early evenings are still a bit nippy and cold, we have brilliant sunshine. For that, we are truly, truly blessed. And I must say, I have a wonderful week this week. And one of the highlights for me has been, you know, going out to Garden World. It's always magnificent to go there, but this week was just exceptional, and I must say I enjoyed it thoroughly. What is so special about Garden World this week, and what was different, and that was the launch of their spring festival, Color My World, and that happens from the 28th of July to the 3rd of September, so it's already in full swing. And I must say, I was amazed and saw the splash of color. Yes, Color My World, they really have colored their world, and I must say to you, it's been inspiring. In addition to that, they've also done some wonderful things. They've done a makeover garden. So what that does say to us is that you don't have to have buckets full of money. All you need some time, some patience, and you can also make up your garden. This morning we've got a wonderful guest, and that's JJ from Garden World, and he's going to take us through what's happening there and also tell us what should be done in our gardens at a particular time of this year. Hi, good morning, JJ.
Good morning, Ishmael.
Thank you very much. I must say you were very inspirational that morning, and I thought there were some inspirational ideas that came through when I looked at the Garden Wise Garden, you know, What Wise Gardens, looked at those young children's gardens, and of course we had the professionals. It was absolutely brilliant. What was your take on that?
Ishmael, this is one year that we've had a tremendous high standard in all of the gardens. It has been very, very special working with the people this year. You know, every other year you've got a lot of hiccups, and this year everything actually ran so smoothly. And we are so proud of how everything turned out. You know, looking at from the professional gardens right down to the kiddies gardens, right down to the box gardens, to the floral arrangements, it's really just bumped up our spirit.
And, you know, I was amazed, you know, to see there were so many platinums. Normally you have one platinum or two platinums. Well, this year many people walked away very, very proud of their achievements, and I thought that was super.
That is correct. And it's, as you say, you know, with the standards being so high, we've probably awarded about 8 platinum awards, and which is unseen at a garden show. But you cannot discriminate. You cannot give them anything less. You know, you've got to give them what they're worth and what the garden is worth. And that is literally what we've done. So it has really been phenomenal.
And, you know, I was also very pleased to find little children, you know, being involved. Because we normally say, can you get little children involved? And some of those gardens were inspirational. I took a walk through some of them. And I must say to you, the ones that really piqued my interest was the one about the bees. That was fantastic. And then you looked at the others and said, wow, there is a lot of time, or there is an opportunity for people to be creative with their children in the gardens. And I thought this was a super idea.
You are correct there. You know, what's interesting is so many people will actually think that they don't really want the children to get involved. What if the children make a mistake? What if the children do not learn the ways they're supposed to? But, you know, children are supposed to make mistakes. We're all supposed to make mistakes. We're all supposed to learn. And to be for the children to be able to bring out such wonderful ideas, such wonderful display gardens. And, you know, you're talking about kids between the ages of about 4 and 10 that designed the gardens and they implemented them. And they are phenomenal.
Yes, and again, I think it's an opportunity for people to be inspired, not only people, but to take their children out, you know, come up there and see what children can do, and then perhaps come and replicate. And for me, that was important, that it wasn't just about show gardens, because sometimes show gardens are over the top, and you go up there and you say, look, fine, I don't think I can do that in my garden, I don't have that money, I don't have that type of opportunity. But here it was gardens that were established, and they gave a makeover, and I think that was a brilliant idea.
You know, so often you get tired of your cupboards, your clothes in your cupboard, and you throw them all out, and you buy yourself some new clothes in the cupboard. And that's exactly what we wanted to do. We wanted to show you that you can also just take out some plants and replant or replace a few of them and change the entire look of your garden, you know. And that shouldn't, as you said earlier, you don't need buckets full of money to do that with, you know. It should be something which is cost-effective and very effective visually, so that people don't really recognize the previous garden that was there.
And, you know, we're going through some tough times in our country with the economic, you know, there's a recession coming in and looming, and people are saying, but we don't have that type of money. How are we going to get our gardens, you know, spruced up to look different? And I think there's been that opportunity to go out there and see just a little bit of tweaking here and there, a little bit of changes, and if you have a new wow factor in your garden.
You know, if you're looking at your international garden shows, It's not only tough in South Africa, it's tough all over. So, yeah, it's a trend that is going around that people are saying, listen, we've got less money, let's see how we can tighten our budget, and let's see how we can still have a decent garden. You know, but so many people make so many mistakes, which is unnecessarily, you know, I thought about it yesterday, about the kind of mistakes that people make in their gardens. And one of them is that people fall away and start gardening without a plan. You know, they don't have a clue of which direction they would be going. They're not talking to their husbands, they're not talking to their wives, they're not talking to their kids to find out what do they want in the garden, what do they see in the garden, what is their vision of the garden. And therefore, you've got to have a plan. You've got to make sure that you are able to save some money by not having to do things over and over. Make sure that you get everybody involved. Make sure that even the littlest is involved and saying that I would like to have a little reading corner over there. I'd like to have a sand pit over there. Whatever. You know, there is so many ways for us of saving money in the garden. But it is as if the garden is always the kind of place where money just gets thrown into and not really worried about, am I planting the right plants in the right area? Am I forcing plants into the environment which does not grow well in the environment that I am in? Am I really working towards a plan here? And then also, am I not trying too much? Very often people just try too much and they make it too expensive, too difficult, and they often fail. And then the garden gets blamed or the plant gets blamed and not the person doing it.
And one of the stunning displays, I must say to you, is we're always proud of that particular display. And that one is won by David Davidson and Roy Hudson. And that has been the, you know, exhibit that they put out in Chelsea. And it's been now, you know, brought back into South Africa. And when you go in there, we really see the biodiversity. And one of the things that was interesting in one of the talks that I learned was that we're the third highest biodiverse country in the world.
We are the third highest biodiverse country in the world. We've got probably the most amount of indigenous flora in the world. So they actually said that wherever you go in the world and you look at plants, a third of those plants would be coming from South Africa. So, yeah, it's a fantastic display. David Davidson and Ray Hudson has once again proven to us that they know what they're doing and that they have made South Africa proud in winning the 35th gold medal at the SA Christenbosch, for SA Christenbosch at the Chelsea Flower Show. It is the 35th gold medal in about 42 attempts, which means that we've only 7 times not succeeded in getting a gold. And this year, it has also received the President's Award. Now, that's quite an interesting one. Everybody thinks that the President is the President of the country. No. Remember, Britain has got a minister, not a President, or a Prime Minister, not a President. But the President of the Royal Horticultural Society goes through 500 different exhibits, and he chooses one to be his favorite. And he chose this year, he chose the SA Christenbosch exhibit to be his favorite. So David Davidson and Ray Hudson, or we as South Africa, cannot get anything higher than a gold in that category. We cannot get a platinum, there is no platinums, and we cannot get an overall winner. Overall winners are only allowed or is only allocated to the outdoor garden and outdoor gardens and not to the exhibits. Remember, ours is only an exhibit. It's made up of cut flowers. It's not made up of actual plants. So, therefore, we cannot get better than gold. However, in a different category, we won the President's Award, and that is really put a feather in our cap. That is the best that we could be doing at Chelsea.
And also one of the interesting aspects of the particular display was not only something that coming in from Cape Town and the Fynbosch, but we also had our local Walter Sisulu, you know, being showcased. So there you had the backdrop, the waterfall coming down, and you know, it was, and when you looked in there, you know, they recreated it and really was a lot of thought, a lot of hard work that had gone into that particular display.
You know, it's very difficult always for them to come up with new ideas and to come up with new designs, you know, because the main reason why we exhibit at Chelsea is to, first of all, market our indigenous flora that is for sale as cut flowers worldwide. You know, if you think about the strength of the cut flower industry worldwide, you'd actually be amazed to hear that the cut flower industry in Holland is stronger than our gold in South Africa. So, and therefore we would like to try and promote our cut flowers from South Africa, being the Proteas, the indigenous fynbos, the leucodendrons, leucospermums, whatever, you know. And then secondly, they would like to showcase South Africa and bring tourism back. So they've always got to work with, first of all, the cut flowers, because that's what you are allowed to take over to London. You're not allowed to take plants. You need much more difficult and much more special phytosanitary certificates and all those kind of things to take plants across. But the cut flowers is a lot easier. And therefore, they've always got the same kind of cut flowers to work with, very much the same kind of succulents to work with, the same kind of foliage, and then they've got to work with the different kinds of backdrops of our national botanical gardens, because this is a national botanical garden display. So therefore, this year they did use, as you rightfully said, a section of Kirstenbosch, of Cape Town, and then they also used a section of the Walter Sisulu National Botanical Garden, which is only two of our 10 botanical gardens. Now, not all the other botanical gardens has got all the different cut flowers available to set the scene as what the Kirstenbosch exhibit does have. So therefore, you'll always find a section of Kirstenbosch in the display, and then a section of one or two or three of the other botanical gardens. And that is what makes it so special. You know, if they bring out one or two of the other botanical gardens, you always get a slight different feel of what the display is like. You know, and therefore I've got to take my hat off for them bringing out that creativity in bringing a new display every year by using very similar plants and just making it so special, making us so proud.
Thank you very much for that. And I think this is a little bit of our own Chelsea when we come and we talk about flower shows and we talk about garden shows. I think this is our own Chelsea because it's a mix of everything. You've got the garden show as well as, you know, cut flowers. And so there's a lot of things happening at Garden World. And one of the questions somebody said to me, have you gone to a spring festival? Isn't it a bit early? So I said, well, it's coming to the end of July. I'm not too sure if it's too early. But let me ask the question. Do you think it's a bit early?
You know what? Every other year or probably quite a few other years, I would have said, yes, it is too early, but this year I think we're too late. We haven't really had winter. And so, therefore, our spring flowers are so much better this year. Our climate is so much better. And yes, it might feel early because everybody thinks that spring is only supposed to happen after spring day in September. But no, spring is already here. If you look at our plants blossoming, the new leaves coming out, if they're budding, the lawns are already turning green. So, no, I think this year we've timed it quite well. Spring is here.
Well, we're talking about spring is here. I must say to you that when you walked or when you just drove into the entrance of Garden World, you were sort of gobsmacked. Wow. There's lots of color. You just found color all around and you found there's so much, you know, of the natural beauty. The question to ask is, can those things, or can they be recreated in your own garden space?
You know, each and every garden has got its own microclimate, and you've got to look at what you can actually do in your garden. Yes, you will get a lot of ideas coming to Garden World and other gardens, you know, looking at what people are doing in the gardens, looking at what we are doing in our gardens. Can they be replicated in your garden? Yes, they probably can be replicated to a fair extent in your garden, and you just need to look and you need to try a few things, you know. Don't go over the budget, don't blow the budget completely, but try a few things in your garden, because each and every garden is different. However, we can guide you into what will work in your garden and what won't. I've got a lot of people coming through with photographs always and saying, JJ, I've got this corn in my garden, I've got that in my garden. How can I brighten this up? How can I fill this up? What would you recommend here? But, you know, Ishmael, it's actually very interesting how many people come through to the nursery and I'll ask them, okay, great, so you've shown me the picture. Which side does the sun rise? You know, which side is this facing? And they've never looked at where the sun rises in their own garden and where it sets in their own garden. So they cannot tell you how much sun is in their own garden. So when you are planning a visit out to a nurseryman or to a horticulturist to assist you, make sure that you know where does the sun rise, where does the sun set. Also, what is your winter sun like? What is your summer sun like? Yeah. So there's quite a few ways for you of getting the same look in your garden, getting the same feel there, which is still an affordable way, and getting the right advice if you know what you're talking about.
And I must say that one of the things that as I was sitting and looking at some of these beautiful palms that you have, and people say that those are not indigenous. How come it's thriving? How come it's doing so well in that space? And I said, it takes a lot of years, many, many years of gardening before you get to that growth and that height. But the intensity and the greenness, you know, it was that deep green. How do you maintain all of that?
By feeding. Feeding, and watering is probably the most important things in a garden. If you want to have your garden lush and beautiful and dark green, as you say, you need to start feeding, you know, and you need to start feeding the right kind of fertilizer. I spoke to one of the fertilizer suppliers a couple of days ago, and he said, you know what? People will always go into a shop and look for their cheapest fertilizer. They don't necessarily look at how much they're using. They don't necessarily look at what is in the bag. They just want the cheapest out, you know? And that's something that we've got to, as humans, start thinking about. What are we paying for? Are we really paying for a bag full of rubbish? Or are we paying for proper good fertilizer? Something will actually turn my work the way it's supposed to and turn my garden into a beautiful, lush space. And therefore, I would advise you, I'd really go back to a nursery and I'd go and ask them for advice. What would I use in my garden? And don't necessarily only take the first thing that they recommend to you. Go back and read about it, think about it, and discuss it, all the different fertilizers with that person. So often you'd find that you would take a fertilizer, which is a nice and cheap fertilizer, and you need about 3 or 4 handfuls per square meter, and you could find a much more concentrated fertilizer where you use a tablespoonful per square meter, which will take you so much further, give you so much more, and you don't necessarily need to buy loads and loads of bags of fertilizer, loads of cheap fertilizer, which will not do as much for you. So I'd rather, if I was customers, I'd start looking after my watering of my garden, not overwatering, still being water wise. Remember, we are still a water scarce country, even though in Johannesburg and Pretoria, the water restrictions have been lifted. A lot of the country is still very dry, you know. So we've got to always be careful of when we're watering, how much we're watering, and not to waste any kind of water. And then secondly, feed your garden. Just as me and you, we need food. We can't live on water alone. Your garden also needs food. You cannot live on water alone. So you must make sure that you feed with the right fertilizer as well. It's pretty pointless if you've got a lot of foliage in your garden and you feed your plants with root fertilizers. Yes, it will make the roots stronger, but it's not going to do much for the foliage. Or if you see that your plants are battling and you're feeding it to flower, but meanwhile there's no roots to sustain the flowers. So make sure that you feed correctly as well.
The other takeaway for me was, you know, the importance of mulch that was stressed, and I think that was stressed over, and, you know, it was one of the key points that, not too sure who the guest was, but he was the adjudicator, and he said, you know, how important mulch is, and he then went on to express and also say that many of us in South Africa, you know, don't understand the importance of mulch. Is that correct?
That is correct. You're talking about Bruce Stead. Yes, he was one of the adjudicators here with us. He was one of the judges, and he was talking about the importance of mulch and making people understand that mulch has probably got about 10 different good factors or good principles, but the main principle that makes the most difference to our lives at the moment is use mulch to prevent water loss. And that is very, very important. You know, we as South Africans don't know or don't use a fraction amount of mulch that we are supposed to use. Places like Australia, I read the other day, uses 127 tons of wood per person per year. Not per year, in the lifetime, sorry. 127 tons of wood per person in the lifetime. And 90% of that goes into the garden in ways of mulching. In South Africa, we are less than 1 ton of wood per person per lifetime. So it shows you that we do not use quite as much or a fraction of the amount of mulch that we should be using in our gardens. And remember, by putting down mulch in the gardens, you will be saving on water by probably more than half. I had it where I had a customer once, and they couldn't get to watering all their plants because they were sitting on a small holding, and the water was very little, and their plants were suffering. And I said to them, why don't you mulch? And instead of the gardener staying and watering every day, after mulching, the gardener only had to water once a week, and the plants were flourishing.
Thank you very much. We're just going to go for a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll continue. And what I want us to go through, JJ, is you take us through some of the aspects with gardening at this time of the year. Tell us what's happening. And I've seen some lovely ideas coming in your magazine. We'll talk about that. And tell us a little bit about the show garden, when it's open and so forth. So all that when we come back. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Just tuning in. My name is Ismail Priyava. It's an edition of our program, Dare to be Different. Just wonderful to have all of you tuning in, whether it's via the audio streaming, Medium Wave 1548, Satellite Islam, and on the DSTV Booker 826. And if you'd like to join our conversation, if any questions you'd like to ask JJ, the number to dial is 011-854-1548. I do have one question that's coming in. Hi, good morning, JJ. Hello, JJ. Not sure. Mohammed, have you got JJ online? Not sure if we seem to have. If you have any queries or questions, remember to join and to send us your questions through, and JJ will take us and help us with some of those particular queries. Mohammed is just trying to get him online. I must say to that it's been a wonderful experience out at the Garden World this week. It was fantastic, and those gardens on display was something that we could easily replicate in our own gardens, and I think that was fantastic. And looking at some of the things and that you got and the ideas, you'll definitely be inspired. Also, there's a book that goes with it called Garden World, Color My World Garden Design Show, and we talk some about that book as well. Thank you very much, JJ. Sorry, we had a query about from a listener about fertilizer. What fertilizer do you recommend? Hello, JJ.
Good morning. Sorry, Ismail. I'm still thinking.
Sorry.
We were stopped. No problem. Thinking about what kind of garden have we got, you know. Obviously, if you've got a garden which is a garden that's battling with showing new life, showing new growth, first of all, I'd start by feeding the roots and the foliage. I would not start by feeding the flowers. You know, so yes, even though I love a fertilizer high in potassium for making the garden strong, like a 315 or an 815, making the plants strong, that is more to promote flowers. So if we were feeding our fruit trees, or we were feeding our roses, or we were feeding our flowering shrubs, our spring flowering shrubs, something high in potassium, like for instance a 315 or an 815, would be perfect. But if you are having a garden with a lot more greenery in it, and you are looking for the normal old synthetic fertilizers, you would probably use something like a 713. That will also be very good. However, nowadays, we are focusing a lot more on our organic fertilizers. There is such a vast range of organic fertilizers out. One of the new ones out that's actually taking the market by storm is a product called Just Organic. And Just Organic is a crop manure-based fertilizer which they've added carbon and they've added other minerals into it to make it a special fertilizer. And if you were to compare apples with apples, your Just Organic is probably one of the cheaper fertilizers that you would get that would give you the best results. Yes, we still use a lot of your Telborn range, your Vita Greens and your Vita Grows, which is fantastic. And nowadays, with a combination of your Vita Green and your Vita Grow, we sell you a Fertilis, which is an earthworm casting. And your earthworm castings brings in all the microbes. That puts in the goodness into the soil. That puts the life into the soil, where your fertilizer then can be absorbed by the plants a lot easier and a lot better. So there's a lot of different kinds of fertilizers available that you can use. However, if you have never tried your organics, try your organics. They are normally, most of them, are a slower release. You need less of them, and they give you a longer result. So try maybe some of that.
Query coming with just organics. Can you get them in bulk, or do you have to buy them in bags?
Well, the bags that you normally buy is a 10-kilogram bag. Yes, you can get the 80DM bags as well, which is those big old 50-kilo bags of fertilizers. However, that is only for the agricultural market available. So the 10-kilogram bags is very affordable. We've got it on special at the moment, 149 rands for two bags, which means that you are paying 75 rands a bag, which is really cheap. You don't really even need to go the bulk route. But remember that your bulk is very often only really for the farmers and for the co-ops and for the plots, you know, the small holdings.
Thank you very much for that. And let's go on to what is to be done at this particular time of the year. I know whilst rose pruning seems to be on everyone's agenda, is that correct?
Rose burning, yes, it should have actually been done. If you look at how our weather has turned up to be nice and warm, it should have been done. But if you haven't done it yet, get it over and done as quick as possible, because yes, we might still get a bit of a cold snap like we always do get in August and the beginning of September, but I think that will be a very short-lived cold snap. It will only be here for a day or two and it will go over again. We haven't really had a very cold winter, and I don't think we are going to have much more cold really coming through, which will be a prolonged cold. So I would advise you, I'll definitely get the roses pruned as quick as possible, the fruit trees pruned as quick as possible, sprayed and treated and then fed, of course. So that is probably the first thing that's on my mind. The second thing on my mind would be to start preparing my spring garden by turning in compost and crawl manure into the flower beds that I want to plant some spring flowers into, and some seedlings and some veggies into. You know, now's the time to prepare it, because once you start planting that, about the middle to end of August, you start planting that, you don't really want to waste any time. You don't want to be set back by not being ready yet. Because remember, the longer you wait to plant, or the later you plant, the less flowers and the less fruit you will have at the end of the day. So rather try and prepare everything now, that you can get everything ready, that as soon as it's out, you can get it into the ground as quick as possible.
Another question coming through with regards to pruning and deciduous trees. I've been told that you pruned this, the question that if you prune very heavily, you'd find that that would be the expense of the fruit. So it should be a light pruning. Is that correct?
It all depends on what you are pruning and how you'd like to prune it. Very often, if you are pruning a deciduous tree, you'd like to bring it down to its base so that it can send out a lot of new growth. However, that you'll only really do once every 5 or 10 years. Most of the other years, it will only be a light pruning. So if we are talking about deciduous fruit trees, yes, does your prune medium every year and probably hard once every 5 years. But if it's normal deciduous plants and trees, only a decent pruning once every 5 to 10 years with light prunings in between.
Now the question, I've got still fuchsias blooming and so with hydrangeas. Do I prune them or do I leave them? What should I be doing?
Fuchsias you must prune, and you must prune them very hard. So if you're not going to be pruning your fuchsias, they're just going to grow long and leggy and they're not going to flower as much as they are supposed to. Hydrangeas you should have pruned already, and I wouldn't actually prune my hydrangeas now again. Because if you were to prune your hydrangeas now, you will not get the same kind of flowers as what you would be getting if you were to prune them before the end of June. Remember, the later you prune your hydrangeas, the less they flower. Unfortunately, hydrangeas is one of those plants that must be pruned early in winter so that they can have a long dormant period and that they can push out lots of new buds for you with lots of new flowers. If you prune them now or if you prune them any later in the season, you're not going to have the same kind of results.
And like you said, with the fuchsias, it has to be pruned even though it has lots of leaves, I beg your pardon, lots of flowers on them.
Yes, yes, they must still be pruned. Remember, don't look at the flowers that's there now. Those are a couple of winter flowers that's really just out of season on the plant. And you must prune it back very hard because you'd like to get a lot of new growth. You'd like to get the stems to thicken out. You'd like them to really push out lots of new growth with lots of new flowers, because your fuchsias only flowers on new growth. They do not flower on old wood. So you need lots of new wood so you'll have an abundance of flowers from the new wood.
And, you know, because we didn't have the cold snap, there's still lots of things blooming in the gardens. What advice do we have for our gardeners?
You know, your problem is that you don't really want to prune because you don't want to lose those flowers. However, you're not looking into the future. You're not looking at what I could have in 6 weeks' time if I was to prune properly now. Especially in things like your hibiscus is still beautifully in flower. I would go through and I would still prune. I would really cut them back to get the plant itself, to give the plant a resting period, to allow the roots to grow stronger than what the leaves are. Very often, our foliage outgrows our roots. And if the foliage outgrows the roots, you will have too much leaves and too little roots. So therefore, if you are able to prune it back now, your roots will have a chance to catch up, and your foliage, as your foliage then pushes out lots of new growth, your roots will be able to sustain them. Remember, you need to get rid of a lot of the old dead wood on the plants as well. And if you're not going to do that, if you're going to keep on building on all that dead wood, all the old wood, you're not going to get the same amount of growing tips. And without the growing tips, you don't have the bushiness, you don't have the lushness, you don't have the flowers. So therefore, I would advise you, most of the plants, even if they are still in flower, even if they are still looking good, go through and give them a prune. It does not always have to be a very hard prune. Hibiscus and so on, yes, we know they love being pruned very hard, but if you haven't pruned it, and it is as warm as it is at the moment, a slight pruning of about 20% of the foliage and the branches will still be fine. That can still activate lots of new growth and new flowers.
Question with regards to citrus, I still have lots of lemons coming up, and so with my limes, what do I do?
Look, your lemons and your limes are supposed to be in fruit at the moment. So what you've got to do is your citrus overall is only being pruned for shape. So if there's anything that's either growing out of shape, plants that needs to be brought back, plants that needs to be made smaller, that you'll be pruning now. But you don't necessarily need to prune your lemons every year or your citrus every year. What you will have this time of year is that you will probably find that they will start getting diseased again, and you need to spray and look after that quite quickly. So if there is any diseases on them, take some of the leaves off, go to your local nursery, slip them into a see-through plastic bag that you don't contaminate all the plants in the nursery, and can ask your nurseryman, this is what I've got on my lemons. How can I get rid of it? How can I solve the problem? But yes, your lemons and your citrus that's got fruit on at the moment, that is correct. They are supposed to have fruit on them.
Another question coming through, and with regards to, I beg your pardon, it's herbs. Are there any herbs available at the moment that could be planted?
Oh, definitely, lots. First time of the year, our herb shelves are getting fuller and fuller. So, yeah, no, the variety is there. It's for you to go through to a nursery and to see, what do I like using? What do I like cooking with? I mean, there's so many people that use the most amazing flavors in their foods, and they know what they use. It's pretty pointless if you were to plant a lot of herbs in your garden and you are not using them. So go through to your local nursery and see what is available. But the herb range is starting now to increase, and by the end of August, we'll have a beautiful, beautiful range of just about every herb there is.
I must say to you that when I was at the show, there was lots and lots of herbs, as well as some of the winter seedlings. Is it still time to plant winter seedlings, for example, lettuce, all the Chinese herbs, all the broccolis and cabbages, or is that too late?
For your Chinese lettuce and your normal lettuce, no problem, that you can plant throughout the year. Your broccolis and cabbages prefers a cool garden. So if you were to plant your broccolis and cabbages and you've got a very warm garden, no, don't plant it in that garden. But if you were to plant them into a cooler garden, yes, no problem whatsoever. How do we know where to plant it in our garden? If you are wanting to plant it in a cooler spot in the garden, plant it somewhere where it only gets half day sun instead of a full day sun, so that you can get the most of it. Remember that the veggies that you find in the seedling trays is already 6 weeks old. So you've already had them you've already got them growing for about a month and a half, which means that they're only going to be another month and a half to 2 months, and then they'll be full in fruit or full in flower or full in veg with you. So you don't need a lot of time. And a lot of the gardens only really warms up at the end of September. They only really get the strong sun or get the strong light coming through more towards the end of September. And therefore, I'd say get the plants planted then in a semi-shaded position where they still get enough sun to dry them out and to keep them happy and healthy, but not necessarily burning.
I think I've got another question coming through, but before we do that, food security seems to be very high on everyone's agenda. Tell us something about that.
I spoke to one of the seedling growers a couple of days ago, and I asked him, how's your seedlings doing? And he said, flowering seedlings have actually gone down in sales quite a bit, but your vegetable seedlings has grown by about 200-300%, because everybody wants to grow their own veggies. You know, we've all been afraid of growing our own veggies over the years, but nowadays we see how easy it is and how more cost-effective it is and how much more food security we get out of it. So therefore, it is really something that we should all be looking at. You don't have to run to a grocery store to go and buy a head of lettuce. You should be able to pick that from your own garden. You should be able to pick your own spinach from your own garden. And therefore, that is why at the entrance to our display gardens, we've built these boxes full of veggies and herbs to show you that a herb and a veggie garden can actually be a beautiful garden. Everybody always thinks that because it's a working garden, it's not necessarily a pretty garden, not necessarily a garden that you can put in your front garden. And if you look at it, we have put it in our front garden at the entrance to our display gardens, and they are looking exquisite.
question coming through. When will we be able to transplant the Burundi leaves, you know, these buds? When can they be transplanted? And I know it normally grows in very warm climates, but is there any guidelines that we could give?
I actually don't know the Madumbi leaves, sorry.
Okay.
I probably know it under a different name.
I also don't know it. I don't have a botanical. I know it under the Indian name as well, but I don't have an idea what would be. I think that's the closest I could give. You know, it's a leaf that grows the size of a palm of a person's hand, a little bit bigger, and they use that in Indian cuisine, and then they roll it up and so forth. But I'm not sure. It says, when will these buds be transplanted? I'm sure it would be like any other one. When it gets a bit warmer, would that be correct?
Well, probably, if you think about it, a lot of your tropical plants, because I'm pretty sure if it wasn't Indian cuisine, it would be a much more tropical plant. So, yeah, definitely, probably more towards the middle of September when it really starts warming up. I know that our cold snaps very often do come through at the end of September and beginning of October, but that's when you've just got to keep an eye on the weather, listen to the weather channels, and if anything has to come through, just cover it for a night or two, and it should be fine. So, yeah, I would say beginning middle of September should be the right time to transplant it.
Let's go back to the show gardens. Tell us what's in show and when's it available. Can people come in and at any time, or is it specific times, and what are the costs and so forth?
You know, it always feels like Christmas. It always feels like Christmas to us this time of the year, because everything is so beautiful and everything culminated into this amazing show. So, yes, the show is on at the moment, as rightfully said earlier, 28th July, which is a couple of days ago, until the 3rd of September. We do have 18 different new designer gardens. So there's 18 new landscape gardens which you can mow through and you can wander through. You can take pictures in it, get some ideas, and really spend some time in the gardens. As you enter the display gardens, of course, it's 30 rands per person entrance fee, and you also get a garden magazine, a show garden magazine. And that is where all the plants and all the photographs have been put into, so that you can make notes on it and say, you know what, I like this, I like that. Let's add some more photographs to it so that when we go back home, we can sit and discuss what we can do in our own gardens. And so often you just want to embrace the beauty of the gardens. And therefore it's so nice going through and walking into the gardens, enjoying the gardens in a 3D, 4D form all the way around you, not only looking at it in a picture. You know, otherwise you could have bought a magazine somewhere in a magazine store and you've probably also seen some beautiful gardens in there. But with ours, you are welcome to go into the gardens and to enjoy the gardens from the actual garden setting, from the gardener's point of view, and not only from a picture point of view. But in any case, so we've got 18 different new designer gardens. We've got 3 revamped gardens. So that's more of our old established gardens with our larger water features in them. Then we do have 8 gardens through the eyes of a child, which is the gardens that's been designed by the kids. And that's what we spoke about earlier. All the little kids came through and they designed their own gardens, and that's where the bee garden is in. And they brought the importance of what a child sees in gardening, and they brought that in with the child, with the kids' fun factor. Different ornaments that the kids have made in school, and they brought it here and they put them into the gardens, which really makes it special. Then we've got some box gardens, and the box gardens is smaller gardens that's been done by the kids. It's little tabletop arrangements that's been done by the kids in large seeding trays. So if you want to see how creative a kid can be in a small box garden, that is the kind of thing that you can come and see here. And then, of course, we said that the moms and the dads had so much fun building the box gardens with the kids. We gave them a space to do a tablescape. And the tablescape is a box garden or a smaller garden that has been done by an adult. So it's a table arrangement that has been done by an adult. So we've got the box gardens, the tablescape, and then, of course, our big one, the cream of the crop, is our SA Kersenbosch Child's Exhibit. It is a phenomenal display where they focus on the windows of biodiversity. And that is where they showcase, as you said, the SA Kersenbosch exhibit on the one side, and then the tabletop with the Kersenbosch exhibit on the one side, and then the Walter Sisulu garden on the other side. It's quite interesting that we don't always know how many of the succulents and how many of the indigenous flora is indigenous to our area. And that is quite nice, and to go past this exhibit and looking at it and saying, you know what, I didn't know that osteospermums do also occur in our area. Strelitzias do occur naturally in our area. So that is really special then to see the different kinds of plants that has been used in there. We've got a tremendous amount of specials. I don't think anybody has ever had so many specials and such good specials. Hostpots this year at half price. There is fertilizers where you buy one and you get one free, you know, so again, it's a half price kind of scenario. There is so many different specials. And then of course, our beautiful landscape gardens here at Garden World, people are still loving it. You know, come through to us and come and feel what it feels like to breathe in fresh air again. So often people drive in or they walk in and they say, I just want to breathe in fresh air. I just want to breathe in this lush, beautiful oxygen that has just been produced by all these wonderful trees around us. And that is what we are trying to create. We are trying to create that piece of paradise here for you.
Now, having said 30 Rand, what would the cost be for children? Would that be free or not?
Children under 12 is for free. Okay. So you are welcome to bring them through as well. And I actually forgot about our flower arrangements. Interflora has brought through a lot of flower arrangements. They've come and showcased their skills with us this year again. So if guys are coming through now, they will be seeing the Interflora flower arrangement. Later on in the month, by about the 24th or so, we will be having the Gauteng Flora Union, and they will be displaying their exhibits here with us again.
And then you have talks by Tanya Fisser and, you know, Paul Funk of Mayfort. Has that happened, or is that still going to happen?
I only had one talk so far, and that was the one by David Davidson regarding the SA Person was Chelsea exhibit. We've got talks, as you said, by Tanya Fisser, Johan de Priestakis. Everybody knows him as Panda. He's, I don't know if you know me, but he's about double my size. He's really a wonderful, large teddy bear to listen to. He does a cooking show, and they say you should never trust a skinny chef, shouldn't you? But in any case, yeah, so he's doing a cooking show with us. There's one of the girls, I don't have that list in front of me, but one of the girls are doing a wall clock, creating and painting your own wall clock that you can actually build it here with us. So there's so many nice, interesting talks here with us. And then, of course, the Tanya Fisher one right at the end with Richard Koch, where they've got the In Tune with Nature. It's a beautiful event on our front lawns where they bring music and gardening together.
Well, thank you very much for all of that information. And I know it's happening every day of the week. Tell us the times.
Okay, 8 o'clock to 5 o'clock every day of the week. Sunday is a little bit later to 5:30. But 8 o'clock to 5 o'clock, come through Monday to Sunday. The show is open.
Well, thank you very much, JJ. Thanks for all that information. I know we have lots of people coming through, and people would enjoy the display like I've enjoyed it thoroughly. You take care. Thanks a million.
Thanks, Ishmael.
Thanks. Bye-bye. And that was JJ from Garden World. Give us an insight of what's happening at that particular part of Burr Garden World. It's a fantastic place, just off Bayesnodde, 12 kilometers from there, go down, and wonderful opportunity and a wonderful way to spend an afternoon. So if you have nothing to do this weekend or any time between now until the 3rd of September, it's a wonderful space to be in and to enjoy. It's all for me until we meet again, inshallah. Mohammed Bam waiting for the news. Stay tuned.